All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I know what I'm preaching this morning, and I've already preached it once this morning. And I heard all the music in the first service, and it was exactly the same as what we just heard in this service. And I've come to the conclusion that whatever the problem is, Jesus is the answer. So I'll just say that up front, and you'll have that in the back of your mind as I'm going through the message this morning. And I did not get together with Pastor Brian, and nor with Fran, nor with the choir to plan this, how all this has fit together this morning, but it has all fit together. As you will see, if I don't point it out, you might not stop to think about it, but that usually means that God's trying to say something to somebody, and it would do us all well to listen. All right, Matthew chapter 14 is, at the beginning of this chapter, the Lord Jesus is in the Sea of Galilee area. The Sea of Galilee is was kind of home base for the Lord Jesus. Capernaum, that whole region around the edge of the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, Tiberias, all that region. And the Lord has been in this area for several days. It was here that some of his greatest miracles were done, and miracles that are recorded for us in the Bible. It was here that he gave the Sermon on the Mount, and gave what amounted to the constitution for the kingdom of heaven. In this 14th chapter, in the first part of the chapter, word comes to him that Herod had arrested John and that he was executed. You'll remember that John the Baptist dared to point his finger and accuse Herod of sin, and it cost him. He ended up being arrested, and his head was severed from his body, and his voice was silenced. And so word came to Christ in the first 12 verses, and of course the Lord was very upset over this. But I'll begin reading in verse 13, just after he received the news. So if you'll look at your Bible, please. In verse 13, it says, "When Jesus heard of it," in other words, heard the news about John, "he departed thence by ship, by boat," remember he's around the Sea of Galilee, "into a desert place apart." Now you and I would understand a desert place, a deserted place, a place where he could be alone, a place where there were no people. All right, and it says, "And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw," now I want you to look at these next two words, "he saw a," what? "Great multitude." All right, now think about that. Here's this great multitude. I'll say more about that great multitude in just a moment, but great multitude, "and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place.'" This is the boonies. This is no man's land. There's nothing here. "This is a desert place, and the time is now past." In other words, it's getting late in the day. "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Now you say, what in the world are victuals? Well, we have taken that word and hillbillyized it, and it's victuals. You know what victuals are. All right, that's victuals. That's the old English word, and we, of course, turned Jethro Bodine in the on the Beverly Hillbillies. He represented the South well, didn't he? And buy them victuals, victuals. Let them go to McDavid's and get a hamburger, or McDonald's, I mean. All right, so let them go get some food. That's the point. Now here's my text verse, verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, and here's my text phrase. This is what I'm going to preach on this morning. They need not depart. They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now we learn from another gospel, from Luke, that there was a little boy there, and he had a little bag lunch, a little sack lunch. And in that lunch, he had 5 little fishes, and he had 2 biscuits. And so Andrew brought him to Jesus and said, this is all we've got. You're going to feed this whole multitude with this little lunch. All right? So pick it up, verse 17. We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did, what's the next word? All eat. The whole multitude. Everybody there. Not only did they eat, but verse 20 goes on to say, and were filled. Wow. They all got their fill. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Now, if each of the men were married, that's 10,000. And if they all had 2.3 kids, well, you do the math. That's a lot of people. It's a multitude. Don't forget that. Not only is it a multitude, the Bible says it's a great multitude. So there is, conservatively speaking, at least 10,000 people here. Would you agree to that? And liberally speaking, there's at least 20,000 people here. It's a great multitude. But let me take you back to verse 16. There is a need. They're needing food. And the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, they need not depart. Why? Well, because as we read in the story, Jesus met the need. I want to speak to you this morning from that little phrase, they need not depart. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for the truths that are in this book. And Lord, this simple little phrase, but yet what a message it has for us, for every person in this room. Lord, whether we're saved or unsaved, whether we're young or old, or whether we're rich or poor, whether we're educated or uneducated, it just doesn't matter. There's a message here for all, that Jesus can meet whatever need there is. Father, help us to see that this morning and to allow the Lord Jesus to meet the needs of our hearts. Father, I pray that we will see that Jesus is the answer this morning. Speak to our hearts. Draw each one of us to yourself. And Lord, I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and bless and help me as I speak. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. I want you to imagine the scene along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It's been a long day, a hot day probably, and multitudes of people have come from all over the region to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they brought, when they came, they brought their loved ones with them. We learn that there was a great multitude, and when these people came to see Jesus, they brought their sick loved ones with them because the word had spread that Jesus was a healer of men. Whatever was wrong, he could fix it. He healed them of their diseases. We read the Bible and we see that there were people with all manner of disease, and they came to Christ and he healed them of their diseases. Doctors couldn't do that. Medicine men could not do that. The priests could not do that. And I said when we did our study on the life of Christ a few years ago that I doubt seriously there was anybody within 200 miles of the Sea of Galilee who had a loved one who was sick when Jesus was on the earth. You think about it. If you had a loved one and that loved one had a disease or had a broken limb or was blind or was deaf or couldn't speak, would you not, had you heard about Jesus, done everything you could to get them before the Savior? I would have. And so when word got out about Jesus, people flocked to him. And they brought their families. They brought the lame. They brought the blind. They brought the sick. Those suffering were brought and laid at the feet of Christ. And if you look at verse 14, you will see that there was a huge multitude of people who followed after him on this glorious day. Now, what I want to do this morning, I want to take this little phrase in verse 16, they need not depart. And I'm going to preach the message around that. Now, before I get to the message, I want to state the obvious and then build my thoughts around the obvious. And the obvious is this. Here's where the message came. I read this and I read that phrase, and then I just sort of stepped back, and in my mind's eye, I looked at this multitude of people from a distance. I just stepped back and looked at this multitude. In my mind, there were thousands of them, literally thousands of them. And I stood and I looked at them, and it occurred to me that in that multitude that had gathered, there would have been people from all walks of life. The young and the old would have been there. The rich and the poor would have been in that crowd. The educated and the uneducated would have been there. Moms and dads would have been there. All equally represented. Everybody from all walks of life were in that crowd as I looked upon them. In the crowds would have been the farmer, as well as the shopkeeper and the carpenter. I have no doubt that people from every occupation on the planet would have been present on that day. And when the disciples saw this throng of people and realized that it was getting late in the day, they said, "Master, send the multitudes away, so that they can go into the neighboring towns and villages and buy themselves some food so they can feed their families." And the Lord Jesus said something in verse 16 that I want to focus on this morning. And he said these words, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Now, folks, think of that. They need not depart. I like what that is implying. I like what that is implying. What that is implying is this. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter what kind of house you live in, where you live. It doesn't matter how much education you have or how much you don't have. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It does not matter how much money you have. They need not depart. I want you to stand there and look at this crowd with me. And you see all walks of life represented. And in the midst of that, here is the Savior looking at the same crowd you're looking at. And the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, they don't need to go anywhere. I will meet their needs. I can handle this. You see, it is one of the wonderful things about our Lord that He is the Christ of every person. He is the Christ of the policeman, the teacher, the secretary, the plumber, the carpenter, the factory worker. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. All are welcome to come into His presence and to enjoy His saving grace. It just doesn't matter where you're from or what you look like or what you do for a living. None of that matters. He is the Christ of all. Anyone can come to Him, anyone, and find fellowship and find a friend and find a confidant. Anyone can experience His grace and can enjoy His delightful fellowship. It just doesn't matter what your occupation might be. I think that is why Paul counsels the Corinthian church in the 7th chapter in verse 20 when to that church that was a bunch of saved people, called out people in Corinth, the most wicked city on the planet. And here were all these people who were involved in all this wickedness, and yet they heard the gospel and they got saved in the midst of all that wickedness. And so they're writing back to Paul and they said, now that I'm saved, do I have to leave Corinth? Do I have to leave my home? And Paul writes back to them in the 20th verse and he told them, abide in the callings wherewith ye have been called. In other words, what he's saying is you don't have to leave. There's no need to leave your occupation to find Christ. It would not be easier to be a Christian anywhere else. Wherever you are, whatever your task, whether we be in the classroom or whether you're a bus driver or whether you're a factory worker, I mean, it just doesn't make any difference. You can have fullness of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, there's no need for you to leave your occupation. Now, let's think of this. They need not depart. Let's think of this multitude. And who would have been there? Who all would have been in that group? I'm going to ask you to stand along beside of me, and let's look at this multitude of people together. And as we do, we're going to observe three things about the crowd. The first thing that I want you to observe is this. That crowd would have had folks with various needs in life. As we stand off to the side and look at that multitude, I'm going to turn to you and I'm going to say, you know, right there in that crowd represents every need that a man can have. Isn't it strange how we're all so different from one another in the things that we need in life? Let me ask you, what do you need this morning? What do you need this morning? We're all different in this area. What I might need this morning is something totally different from what you need. But one thing is sure, we are all here this morning because we have some kind of spiritual needs. In this crowd, there would have been a multitude of needs. Some were there because they were hurting and they needed help. Some of the folks that were in that crowd were probably just curious. They had heard this about this miracle worker. They had heard about this man that spoke like nobody had ever heard anybody speak before. And they were just curious. They just wanted to go see for themselves. I dare say that there were others, because their souls longed for truth. And when they listened to Jesus speak, they just knew that they were listening to truth. And so they wanted to come and hear what he had to say. And then there were others, probably a lot of them, who came because they had a child. And that child had fallen and broken his arm like I did when I was a kid. I was trying to jump a creek. And when I hit the bank, it had been sprinkling rain, and my foot slipped. And instead of making it over the creek, I made it into the side of the bank where the creek was running. And it dislocated my right elbow. My right elbow was sitting up on top. I looked at it, and there was this big hump right here. I can imagine that there were people that looked at their child and their hearts were broken, and they knew that child was in pain, and they knew that child had a limb that was useless, and yet they heard, wait a minute, the healer is here, and they packed their child up and they came to see Jesus. You see, when your child hurts, you hurt. And so this mother and father came to seek Jesus with tears and looking at Jesus as the one and only hope for their suffering child. I'm saying, folks, that everyone there had a different reason for being there. And it's good to know that when you need help in life, ye need not depart. You see, it is with the needy where Jesus seemed to do his most miraculous work. Where none could help, when they came to Jesus, they found exactly what they needed. They found a loving and compassionate friend who could handle any situation. Folks, not one time do you read anywhere in the Bible, in the Gospels, not one time did they ever bring anybody to him where he couldn't handle the problem. Not once. And he can still do the same thing today. Amen. Now listen, right here is a multitude of people. And you have gathered in this place that we call the Church of the Open Door. And in this auditorium are many different needs in life, as many different needs as there are individual people in this building. Now let me ask you, why are you here today? Why are you here? Well, some of you have questions about your eternity. I mean, some of you want to learn God's truth as it is preached from the Word of God. And you simply need your soul to be spiritually fed. You are here because you want to learn about the Lord. Some of you, no doubt, you came this morning wanting encouragement. You need encouragement to guide you through a trial that you are facing right at this moment. You came looking for some help this morning, some encouragement along the way, and that's what motivated you to get here this morning. But the truth is, there are a multitude of needs that are represented here in this auditorium this morning. And to all of you, I say, you need not depart. You need not depart. You say, well, Pastor, why you say that? I say that because the Lord Jesus is able to help you with whatever it is that you need. Church, today, I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about 11:37 right now. This second. You got the point? I'm talking about church right here this morning. Listen to me. It is not about me. It is not about Fran, who just sung that beautiful song a moment ago. It is not about this choir that just blessed us with that great song they did this morning. No, it is not about us. It's not about the special music. It is about all of you coming together in this building with all of us having our own issues, with all of us dealing with life, with sin and the horrible effects of sin upon us, and yet having one Savior who is able to help us and meet the needs of our individual hearts. That's what it's about. So the good news is this: you need not depart. I mean, the Lord will meet your needs. There is no need for you to walk out of these doors in about 20 minutes and go somewhere else to church. There is no need. I mean, it's senseless for you to say, I'm leaving church the open door. My needs are just not being met. I got news for you, dear friend. A church cannot meet the need that is in your heart. I don't care where it is. The church cannot meet your need. You say, Pastor, I'm shocked you'd say that. Why should you be? You see, we've got the emphasis in the wrong place. We've got the emphasis on the wrong syllable. You say, I can't believe you said the church can't meet my need. No, no church can. You say, well then, who can meet my needs? Jesus can meet your needs. They need not depart. The Lord will handle it if you'll just let Him. The Lord Jesus is the one who meets your needs. The heart of the Lord Jesus ought to be heard beating in every church. Sadly, it's not, but it ought to be. I mean, instead of coming to church, what we ought, you know, we'll get up and we'll say, well, we got to go to church this morning. It's Sunday, you know. And instead of looking at it like, well, I got to go to church, we ought to get up every Sunday morning and then about 4 o'clock every Sunday evening and then about 6 o'clock every Wednesday evening, we ought to be getting all excited on the inside, and instead of saying, well, I got to go to church, look at it this way. I get to go meet with Jesus. There's a world of difference. It'll make church exciting for you. I suppose you folks have noticed that we're not trying to build a church around here on personality. I hope you've tried, you see that we're not trying to build a church on its fellowship. Thank God for fellowship, but that's not what we use as the criteria for building the church. I hope you see that we're not trying to build a church on music around here. Thank God for music. I love music. I love it so much I can't wait to get it out of the way so I can preach. But we're not trying to build a church on music. No, when you come here, every service, I will walk up here, or somebody who I've appointed to walk up here, and they will open their Bible and they will say, turn in your Bibles to. And we're going to talk about Jesus. Why? Because He's the one that can meet the needs. They need not depart. It's just that simple. And perhaps the reason you have not found what you're looking for in a church is because you are looking to the wrong thing to help you. Why not listen to the Lord's command in verse 19 and sit down before Him and let Him give you what you need? You see, when you scrape away all the veneer, that is really what each and every one of us are doing here today. So why not let the Lord bless and help you? And that starts with each of us just humbling ourselves before the Lord and saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, I am here. I am listening. I hear you. I am asking you to help me with this need that I have. Is it a sin need? He'll help you with it. Is it an attitude need? He'll help you with it. Is it a marriage need? He'll help you with it. Is it a job need? He'll help you with it. Is it an anxiety need? He'll help you with it. He's the Lord. You need not depart. There's no need in running to someone else or running to something else. Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? No, Jesus is the answer. The point is, you need not depart. No need to go anywhere else. The Lord is here and will help you if you'll just simply let Him help you. I mean, it doesn't matter what your job is, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter what sin you've committed, doesn't matter what your upbringing was, doesn't matter what you've done with your life or what you haven't done with it. What counts is the Lord is here and ye need not depart. That's what matters. Second thing, all right, we're standing here, you and I, we're standing here, we're looking at this mob. We're looking at the crowd. First thing we see is, man, there's an awful lot of needs in that bunch. Always is. You get people together, there are going to be needs. But then secondly, that crowd would have had various types of character. Oh, they're not all the same. Right? They're not all the same. I mean, remember now, there's a multitude of people there. And as is the case, whenever you get a crowd together, there are many different types of character present. No doubt there were some there who knew the Lord. They knew God. They were devoted souls. I mean, in all probability, there were some folks who were either on their way to Jerusalem to go to the temple to worship God, or they were on their way back home after being in Jerusalem from worshiping God. I don't know, but I would dare say in a multitude there were people like that. And as they traveled, they would have been singing the Psalms of David. And with each step they took, they would have had the fear of God in their hearts. But I am also sure that there were others in this multitude who were not such good people. You get a multitude together, you're going to have some characters in there. There were probably some wicked, evil men in that group, and some wicked, evil women in that group. Some of the folks who made up this multitude were probably just there to see what they could steal from the others. I mean, they were just, you know, watching the crowd, just trying to find a weakness so that they could profit from somebody else's weakness. Remember now, it's a multitude. And no doubt all types of character were there. So let me ask you, does the Lord Jesus suggest to the disciples that they should sift and separate this crowd? Does the Lord Jesus suggest to the disciples that they come up with a questionnaire to be handed out to the multitude so that folks can be screened so that they can separate the good folks and the Lord will take care of them, but then get rid of all the shady characters, you know, have them fill out a questionnaire and we'll sift through it and see who stands out. Then all the bad folks, they got to leave. And the Lord will take care of the good folks. Oh, no, that doesn't happen, does it? That doesn't happen. Does he tell the disciples to pick out all the seedy characters and have them stand off to one side? No. No. Does he carefully exclude the non-elect before he performs the miracle of the feeding of the thousands? Now that was for all you folks who have been reading a bunch of junk you're not supposed to be reading. No, he doesn't do that either. Now, he just looks at the whole, shady characters and all. And he says to the disciples, they, all of them, need not depart. That's the amazing thing. No matter who you were, no matter what you've done, no matter what evil is in your heart, no matter what wickedness is going through your mind, they need not depart. You see, the best did not need to leave because he is always better, or has a better than their best. And the worst need not depart because he is the one Savior of the worst, with his abundant pardon for sins committed, for his power to reach down into the deepest and darkest of pits to pull out even the most heinous of sinners. And because of his great love, they will never let us go. He said, nobody needs to leave. I can handle anything. That's just the way I am. I'm God. You see, no matter who you are you listening to me this morning? No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you need not depart. Now, maybe there's someone here today who has recently been thinking about where you're going to spend eternity. I mean, maybe at night when you're trying to sleep, you tremble at the thought of one day hearing the Lord say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting punishment. I never knew you. Well, can I say to you that Jesus on this day on the shores of Galilee said, ye need not depart. Now, if he said it then, it's still echoing today. You see, you can get that settled right here this morning. Then there's a third thing I call to your attention. You and I are standing here. We're looking at this mob. We're looking at this crowd. And when we look at them, we see a couple things. First of all, we see, man, that sure is a needy bunch. Then we look at the crowd and we say, whew, boy, there's some characters in that crowd. And there's some of Galilee's finest over there. Look at that. Oh, there's some good people. But you also notice, you can spot them. There's some shady characters over there too. But nobody needs to leave. Then number three, I want you to notice that that crowd had folks of various ages. I mean, you know, the text tells us that. We learn in verse 21, for example. Just look at your Bible. There were men. There were women. And there were children. All ages were represented. Various ages. For sure, they were all various ages. I mean, think about it. I doubt that too many mothers would have allowed their children to follow after a stranger from Nazareth without them being there to make sure all was well with their kids. So, of course, the mothers are going to be there. We know that one little boy was there for sure. Because in Luke's gospel, we read this same story, and it was Andrew who saw this little boy carrying a sack lunch. And he what you got there, boy? He said, oh, mama put me some fish and some biscuits in here. And so to make a point, Andrew said, can I take that? Can I use that? I'll give it back to you. Little did he know. He takes the lunch from the little boy and says, Lord, you want us to feed this whole... We can't feed... All we've got is this little sack lunch. We've only got 5 little sardines and 2 biscuits. And you think we're going to feed this whole crowd with this? That little guy was probably, what, 4th grade, maybe 5th? Just a little tyke. So all ages were represented. And yet Jesus looks around and says to old and young alike, they need not depart. Isn't it comforting to realize that the Lord Jesus is there to meet our needs regardless of whatever age in life we may be? You know, I get amazed. People say, oh yeah, Christianity, that's for old folks. No. It's for young people. It's for children. It's for teenagers. Man, if anybody needs it, teenagers do. Teenagers can do some of the dumbest things in the world. They're teenagers. Who was it? Mark Twain said, when your child gets 13, get a box, drill a hole in it, throw the teenager in there, nail the top shut. The hole is for throwing food in and so they can breathe. He said, then when they get 19, you plug up the hole. Isn't it good to know they need not depart? I mean, the point is, folks, he never sends us away. He is a friend of children. He is a guide and a guardian for the middle-aged. And he is a rod and a staff for the elderly. And the point is, he never sends us away. Never. I remind you, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. He asked all to come to him and never sent anyone away. I dare you to start in Matthew and go through the end of John and find one time where he ever rejected anybody. You'll not find it because it's not there. They need not depart. Now, that being true, that means, dear friend, listen to your pastor this morning, you need not depart. Now, what's your problem? Huh? What's your problem? I know you got one. Matter of fact, I know you got a bunch. What's your problem? Whatever it is, you need not depart. There's an answer, and that answer is a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of us should be surprised that the Lord Jesus said this to this crowd. This spirit of inclusion and being all things to all people, that's just how he did things. Paul would later say of him, "For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come, shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And my dear friend, that's still true today. Today the Lord is saying to every person in this room, you need not depart. You don't need to leave this room to look for a way to get your needs met. The Lord said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst thereof. You know what that means? That means he's here right now. So I can't see him. You're not going to see him with eyes, physical eyes. You'll see him with the eyes of your heart. Once you sit and listen to him. Once you recognize your need and then recognize he's the one standing there with the food, spiritually speaking, you can hold your hands out and you will be just like in verse 20. You can eat, but thank God you can be filled. Ye need not depart.